We're going to learn Daf Mem Gimel in Masechtas Nedarim. We're actually going to start from the Mishnah right on the bottom of Mem Beis and Mem Beis. Three lines from the bottom. The Mishnah says as follows. Hamudr Hanome Chaveiroi. So as you know, all the Mishnayos that we've been talking about till now is when somebody makes a neder that he's not going to, a neder or a shvuah, but he's made a neder that he's not going to have Hanah from his friend. We talked about specific exceptions to the rule. And now, again, we're going to get into some of the rules as well of things that you may or may not have thought of what's mutter, what's aser. So again, starting again from reading the Mishnah, mutter ano mechaveroi, somebody makes a neder from that he's not going to have ano from his friend, lo yashi lenu, he's not allowed to lend him things, lo yishal mimenu, and he's not allowed to borrow things from him. So neither is permissible. I'm not allowed to lend, I'm not allowed to be the lender, I'm not allowed to be the borrower. Now that's talking about, as the Ran points out, because it's so we have to mention it, is talking about with objects like an animal or a keli or something like that, as opposed to lo yilaven of lo yilava mimeno. I'm not allowed to borrow. Now in English it's the same word, borrow and borrow, but in this context it means money. So again, I'm not allowed to borrow from him. I'm not allowed to lend from him. And then the Mishnah concludes, lo yimkar lo yilav yikach mimeno, and I can't sell him objects, and I can't buy objects from him. Okay, so basically the Mishnah says that once I make a neder that it's also about no, I can't give or take from my friend. Okay, that's the simple Mishnah. That takes us to the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Now the Gemara right on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph starts as follows. Bishloim lo yilavenu. I understand you can't borrow to come a hanilah. So, or you can't lend it to him. Because the one who has the Isser Hanoh, that is not allowed to receive a benefit, you're giving him the money. Obviously, lending him money is always, and he's receiving the money, that's always considered a benefit. That's giving him something that he wouldn't otherwise have. So I understand that side of the equation, why it's Asur. Elo yilava heimenu maika mahanilei. But when I'm borrowing from him, how am I being mahanahim? So, by the way, just as an aside, the Mefarshim talk about the fact that there's a hanoh to the fact that I'm in a position to be able to lend you, but that's not the kind of hanoh that we're discussing in these sugyas. As we have been talking about, a hanoh is a economic beneficial benefit. So the fact that I am lending him money is not considered a benefit to me. So why should that be also? So also, the same thing, I can't borrow from him, and I can't buy from him, because buying, the purchaser is technically considered the one who's benefiting, because I'm the one who's getting the benefits. So I understand why you can't buy. But to borrow an object that he's going to give him an object that he's going to return to you, in what way am I benefiting by the fact that I'm letting him use my car and then he's going to give me back my car? So how did I get a benefit from that? Why would it be usur? So the Gemara has two simple terutzim. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, kegoin shenadru hano zemizet. So Rabbi Yosef Rechanina says a very big kiddush that you would not have thought that that's the case of a Mishnah. But the case is, it's not just a one way, it's not just one sided, where I say, I'm not going to give you Hano. Rather, both of them, now, so this is actually Machlekes Rishonim, believe it or not, whether it's one guy made the neder both ways, meaning I say, I am not going to give you a benefit and I am not going to take a benefit from you. Or it happens to be a scenario where I say, I'm not giving you Hano, and you also say, well, in that case, I'm not giving you Hano. And we both say it. Either way, the result is the same. Again, the Rishonim talk about the nuance of the difference, but the result is the same, that we both say we're not going to give each other a hanoh, and that's why both things are aser. The fact I can't lend him and he can't lend and I can't borrow from him is because in either way, both ways, it comes out according to this teretz that the issur really in both scenarios is because I can't borrow from him. But it's just, who's the borrower? It's one person started the neder, the other person just responded. But at the end of the day, the Isser Hano is as we originally thought, that only the Isser of borrowing is what's Asr. Okay? And the Ran points out, so what's the Chiddush? Of course, if they both say they're Asr, then they're both Asr. So he says, the Chiddush is that we're going according to Rebbe Lozer Shita that we mentioned on Daf, in the beginning of the Perek, that even waiving the fact that I have the right to have Hano is also considered giving a Hano. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Abaye gives a different teretz. Gezeira lishol mishum lahasha. V'chein bekuluhu gezeira. You're right. There is only a Hano in one direction. The Hano is only when I'm taking. When the borrower is the one who's getting the hanoh because he's getting money that he wouldn't otherwise have. However, However, we make a gezeira that you're not allowed to lend either, because we are concerned, like any other gezeira, we're concerned that if I borrow money, someone will think, oh, I see, or rather the other way around. If I lend you money, we'll see that there's a relationship borrower-lender that's mutter, and they'll think that I can be in the position of borrowing also. So mamelo, we say that both the you can't have a borrower-lender relationship. So really, but in conclusion, according to Abaye is saying, really it's not usur. Really it's not usur. In our case, our Mishnah is saying a chiddush that there's a gezeira over here, and that's what's making it usur. Okay? The Rambam, in order to explain the Rambam, because the Ran mentions it, so we should mention it, the Rambam says that this case over here is talking about where we're talking about an individual, where I say, you may not have Hanoah from me. But if I make a neder generally, that nobody is allowed to have Hanoah from me, or I'm not allowed to have Hanoah from anybody else, that is not going to be usur. That's other sugyas, that's not going to be usur. That's not going to be usur. Okay, so therefore, it's not the case over here. Again, according to the Rambam, you have to say the case over here specifically in order for this Gemara to work and to make the Isser, the Gezeira, to work. It has to be talking about that it's an individual. Okay, that's the first Gemara. Right away, we're up to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah in the middle of the Yomi. Omar Loi. So here's another case. The guy says Hashileni Parasecha. Says, could I borrow, as we say, borrow me your para. But really, in English, we say, could you lend me your para? Could you lend me your ox? Amar loy ene panuya. So he says, well, it's not really available. So now, for the first time, the Gemara is going to talk about what is the specific lashon? What did I include in my nether? So Omar, so he says, well, if you're not going to lend me your para, he gets angry. Omar, he says, koinim sodai sha'ani chayrish ba lo'oilum. I am never going to use your para to plow my field. Now maybe this guy is in the business of lending out his para, so this would have been an opportunity, and therefore I'm threatening him that I am not going to use his para ever for plowing my field. Okay, so now what did he mean when he says that I'm never going to use this para for the field? So here is where the Mishnah gets precise in the Lashon, or the scenario. Im hayadarka lachresh who aser v'chol adam mutar. If the general way, under normal circumstances, I personally am the person who plows my field. Let's say I'm the aris, and I'm the or stam. I do all the work myself. So when I say that I am not going to use your para to plow my field, what I then mean is I personally will not use this cow. However, everybody else is permitted. Because under the circumstances, I would have been the one that would have done it, and I'm making a neder that I am not going to do it, so it's personal to me that I'm going to be the one that's not going to plow the field. However, b'chol adam mutar, but everybody else is going to be mutar, because that was never what was included in my neder. So it's very interesting. This is one of the, this is the general topic that we've been talking about in this parak, is what is included in the neder, what is not included in the neder. So since I was going to do the work, and now I say I'm not going to do the work, so it's personal to me, then I'm not going to do the work anymore. However, but if it's not me who normally does it anyway, it just happens to be my field, so then who v'chol adam asurin? So then what he meant to include in the neder is me and everybody else, because now I wouldn't have done it anyway. When I meant that I was going to borrow the par, I meant I was going to give it and I was going to borrow it and then give it to my workers. But now that I'm saying, so it was always meant for everybody. So if I'm saying it's usur, it's meant to isur. The isur is going to apply to everybody. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continues. So this is a Mishnah that we've quoted in other places in the Masecht already. Make a neder that I'm not going to give my friend any food, or I'm not going to give him hano. This is hano generally, and now he doesn't have any food. So how is he going to get food? He goes, the guy who can't receive any food goes to the storekeeper, Va'omer, and he says, or rather the guy who made the neder, right. The guy who made the neder goes to the storekeeper, Va'omer, and he says, Ish ploini nudar mimeni hano. This certain person is muda. It should really be muda. Muda mi meni hano. I made an eder that I'm not going to give him any hano. Ve'eni yodeya ma'es, but I don't know what I can do. Now that's all I say. I do not say you should give him. I do not give him any commandments. He's not my shliach in any way. I simply say I don't know what to do. Then the person, of course, reading between the lines, understands. Who knows in loy? So the storekeeper gives this other guy food. Uba noitel mizeh. And he goes, and the storekeeper comes back to the original person who told him about it and comes and collects. Okay? And that is going to be mutter, because he's not my shliach, I didn't tell him what to do. He's simply collecting on my behalf. But it's the chenvani that's giving it to him. And the mafarshim point out that it's because the chenvani could really decide to give him the food on his own. He doesn't have to come. Yes, it's true that I set him up and I kind of implied that I was going to reimburse him. But Lamaisa, I never said I was going to reimburse him. So therefore, he could have given the money, he could have given it on his own, and when he gave it, he was giving on his own. Then he's coming back to me to be reimbursed. Obviously, that was my intention, so therefore I'm going to reimburse him. That's not considered me giving him directly it's not as if he directly gave him the food, and therefore it's mutter. Similarly, this is a similar case, but it's just in a different context. If this person needed a house to be built, goods, or a fence to be put up, so they had a lictor, or he had a field that needed to be harvested. So the same thing, you go to the workers. Now the workers are a little bit different than the chenvani, because the chenvani is somebody that he normally goes to, and there's normally a relationship. You know, if you have your little makolet and you always go to the same guy, everybody knows the players. Over here, the poilim are just general workers. So this is as the Gemara says, or the Mefarshim say, loizu abstu katani. This is anachanami. This is not as much of a chiddush as the first case, but we're talking about it in a different context. But Oimer, similarly, he says the same thing. Ish plenty mudur mimani. I know, I already made an eder, I'm not going to give him anything. I don't know what to do. So then they go ahead, the workers go and they do whatever they're supposed to do. They build this house. And then they come back and they collect their wages from the guy who told them, who set them up to do it. Once again, I didn't tell them to do it. I just told them that it needs to be done. So they're not my shliach. But they have a right to come back and collect from me, and I can give it. I can pay them, and that's not considered as if I gave the recipient the hano. Now let's say the two of us are going on a trip and the second person doesn't have any food. So it's simple. I go ahead and I give let's say I have an extra loaf of bread. I give that loaf of bread to somebody else as a matana. Now it's his. And then the other guy is going to be mutter because he's going to be taking from the third party. He's going to be taking from the middleman. He's not going to be taking from me. Even though I gave it to him, but lemaisa, he's going to be taking from the other guy. So that's why it's in mutter. It's mutter. However, this is really a setup for the next case in the Mishnah. But what if there's nobody else there? So giving it to somebody else, that's easy, because it's out of my reshus, there's a middleman, he could do whatever he wants. But if there's nobody there, you put the loaf of bread on either a rock or on a fence, meaning you put it someplace, and you say it's hefker, for anybody who wants it, you make it totally hefker. So that's also, I'm going to use these words, taking it out of your rishos, giving it someplace else. It's a hefker, it's not an individual. So the Tanakhama Shita is, you can go ahead and he can take it now, because he's not taking directly from the giver. He's taking it from hefker, and there's a break, and the Yisr doesn't apply anymore to hefker, so it's mutter. However, Rabbi Yossi says no. That is also, that is going to be viewed as though it's going from the giver to the taker. And therefore, it's going to be also. Now, I'm being a little bit ambiguous in the explanation, because I'm going to let the Gemara itself is going to deal with what exactly the Isser is. But the concept is that what we're assering, or what we're concerned about, is that it is coming from the giver and getting into the hands of the taker without any real interference, without any real interim step. So therefore, it's going to be, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's going to be Asher. And that's the Shita we're going to focus on. Obviously, the Tanna Kamma Shita is self-explanatory, because it's considered, it's not in my Rishus anymore, so it's not mine. So it's not Asher, it's taking it from Hefker. Let him take whatever he wants from Hefker, that's going to be Mutter. So let's focus now on Rabbi Yossi that says, no, there is a connection between the giver and the taker. So right away, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is considered Rabbi Yochanan Shita, and how to explain things. My time to Rabbi Yossi, what would be the explanation to Rabbi Yossi that says that it is Asher? Kosovar hefker kimatono. He says that hefker works and functions in the same manner that giving a present works. In what way? Ma matana ada asya mi rishus noisin the rishus mekabel. Just like a matana is considered mine, the giver's, until it goes from the rishus of, from the possession of the giver to the possession of the taker. And therefore, meaning that if he wants, he could retract and say, no, thank you, I don't want to give it anymore. It's not, I don't want to give it, it's mine. I wanted to give you a present, now I decided I don't want to give you a present. In all those cases, it's going to be mutter. Af hefker ad osi the rishus zoicha. So too, hefker also is not, it's considered leaving the rishus of the giver until the recipient actually takes it. Now this is a very big chiddush, but what it means to say is that when I put something into hefker, it didn't, even though from my perspective it's hefker, it's not in my rishus anymore, but it's sort of lingering in limbo, that it is connected very much to the giver. And what's happening is when the Zoicha picks it up, that is the first time that it is being removed from the property of the giver into now a new possession of the taker. Now, it was available technically for anybody, but it didn't really leave his Rishos yet. That is the simple explanation of what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. I say the simple explanation because it is a complicated concept, but the idea that we need to focus on is that it is still considered for halachic purposes, for in terms of how the property transferred, it is still considered in the possession of the giver until it receives, it is actually in the possession of the taker. Now that would be a very simple explanation why Rabbi Yossi asers, because remember the whole problem is that he made an eder hano, he's not allowed to give to this other guy. So if it is considered going directly from the hands of the giver into the hands of the taker, so then there's no in between. It's going directly from one to the other, and that's exactly what a neder would aser. You're not allowed to give. You're not allowed to give something. So that's why over here it would be the explanation to Rabbi Yossi making it aser. Okay, now let's see if this holds up. This is again considered Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that it's not considered having left the rishus of the giver. Most of Rabbi Abba. So now Rabbi Abba says, let's see if this really works. The halal, it says, we have a braiso, says, or rather, this is really a quote from the Mishnah, v'halo noito v'oichel. The other guy can take, and then he can eat it. No problem. Once I put it into hefker, that's the shito. V'rabi yosi oiser. So this is all, and Rabbi Yosi says that's oiser, that's our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yosi says I'm not allowed to do this. However, now the braiso adds the following. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Amosai, when did I say that it's oiser and I don't like this? Bizman shenodroi koidem lefgeri. That the case is that first I made the nether, and then I tried to make it hefker. That's where I have an issue that he's not allowed to take it, and it's going to be oiser. Now on the top of them, gimel on the base, the Gemara says, Avo, im hoya hefkeri, koidem linidroi, hareze mutter. But if he made it hefker first I made it hefker, and then I made the nether, then it's going to be totally mutter. Even Rabbi Yossi himself is saying this. Rabbi Yossi himself is saying this, that it's going to be mutter. Why? Because when I made it hefker, it was a real hefker, and now I'm only making the nether later, so the nether is not going to apply to it. Now, that's the statement. However, now the Gemara is going to have a problem. Zok the Gemara weiter, v'i amris, ad osi the rishus zoicha. But if you're saying that until it ends up in the hands of the taker, that until it gets there, it is still considered, literally, for halachic purposes, is considered in the hands of the giver. Mali nidroi koidem lehefkeiroi, male hefkeiroi koidem lenidroi. What difference does it make what comes first, whether the nether came first or the hefker came first? If the idea is, right now, he has not yet, the taker has not yet taken it. It's still in hefker. But, according to Rabbi Yochanan, our philosophy is that it is still considered in the hands of the giver. Even though he made it hefker, it's still considered in the hands of the taker. Excuse me, it's still considered in the hands of the giver, of the guy giving. So if it's still in my hands, and I made the nether, so I'm making the nether on this thing that is still mine. And it should just be usher. What difference does it make whether I made it hefker first or hefker second? At the end of the day, until he takes it, it is mine. It's not out of my rishus, and then eventually I have a nether, and he's going to take it, and the nether should apply to it, so it should be aser. That is the Gemara's question. Obviously, the way I set up the question, I made it easier for us to understand the answer. The answer now is, again, I might not have thought of this until I saw the Gemara, but the Gemara's answer, now we can follow, is very simple. who moisiv lo v'hu mishana lo. He asks the question, meaning Rav Abba asks the question. He himself answers this question to make it not difficult. He says, "Kol hanoider ein daitoi al ma shehifkir." Says the difference is that when I make the neder, I don't have in mind what I already made hefker. Remember, everything about a neder is very important by a neder to analyze what did the person mean. So if the person meant to include it in the neder, it's a part of the neder. If a person didn't include it in part of the neder, it's not part of the neder. Like we said, I'll just give you one example from one of the many examples that we've seen already so far in this parak. When a person makes a neder, I don't want to have a hanoah, and then the guy gets sick, and that guy is the only doctor. He never meant in my neder that if it's going to save my life, that I don't want you to give me a hanoah. Right? That, just as an example. There's many examples like that, but that's one example where I can illustrate and show you that my neder includes only what I meant to include. If I didn't mean to include it, then it's not included in my neder. So here, if I made it hefker first, in my mind, it's not really in my possession. I know technically, halachically, it is considered mine, and I'm the one who's giving it to him. But in my mind, I already took it out of my possession. I no longer relate to that object that I already made hefker. So therefore, when I'm only making the neder later, the neder doesn't include, that's not what I had in mind to be included in my neder, so therefore that neder is not going to include that object, and it's going to be yasser. But really, Anachanami, technically it is going from the giver to the taker, but it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference because it's not part of the neder. So even if it is going directly, it's not what's yasser. So that's why it's going to be totally mutter. That's what comes out. Now, this next line of the Gemara is very interesting, because we're going to read the Gemara the way we have it printed in our Gemara, and that happens to be what most, from what I've seen, most Rishonim learn the Gemara and the Girsa that the Gemara has. The Ran has a completely different Girsa. So, breaking what we usually do, usually we follow the Ran Shita, but in this case, first I'm going to go through the Gemara using Rashi, which is also the Rush, and it's also Tosfos, and it's a lot of the other Rishonim on the page. We're going to read the Girsa that we have in the Gemara and explain it, and then we'll go to the Ran's Pshat. So, Masiv Rava. So Rava asks a question like this, and he quotes a Mishnah in Baba Basra. Miktosan l'rishon v'kulon l'sheni. If a guy gives part of his property to the first person, again I'm going according to Rashi, is the Mefarish's pshat right now. He gives part of his property to the first guy, the kulon l'sheni, and everything to the second guy. So the halacha is rishon kana, the first guy gets, sheni loy kana, the second guy doesn't get. Okay, so that's a very ambiguous statement. We need a background. We need explanations of what's going on over here. So the way Rashi and the Rishonim learn is that we're talking about a case of a shchid mera. Shchid mera, as you recall, means a person who's deathly ill, and he has special halachas because he's on the verge of death. So when he gives away his property, the Rabbanon allowed us to skip a stage. We don't need kinyonim. We don't need kinyonim. That is, when he says something, that's what's going to be carried out. If he wants to give away his property, we're going to listen to him. Okay. However, that's the, so to speak, if you want to call it, the positive side. The positive side is that it works. The negative side is, and again, I'm not using the word positive and negative in the right way, but you understand, you'll see what I mean. Positive side is that the kinyan works. The negative side is that if this person recoups and gets better, recuperates and gets better, so then his giving away was not really meant to be giving away. Because he really only meant to give it away because he was dying. He thought he was going to die. So of course it makes sense that he would give away property. So therefore, if he gets better, he's able to say, I'm not dying, so there's no reason for me to give it away. I want it back. So now, if you understand that that's the context that we're talking about over here, the words of the Gemara make a lot of sense. So he says, Miksosle the Rishon, if I only gave away, I'm going to use the example, $5 to the first guy, the Kulin Lashani, and I give everything else away to the second guy, so then Rishon Kono, the first guy gets, the second guy, and Sheni Loi Kono, the second guy doesn't get. You know why? Because when I give away $5, that has nothing to do with dying. Because if you were dying, what difference does it make $5 if you have another $1 million in your bank account? $5, that is considered a serious giving away, and therefore it goes through. So therefore, he gets to keep it no matter what. Whereas the second guy, when I gave away everything, since the guy only gave it away to die, when he thought he was dying, now he's not dying anymore, he's going to take it back. Okay, so that is the explanation of the Gemara. So what's the kasha? The kasha of the Gemara then is that if that's the case, if we hold that I'm not allowed to, that it's going, that until I give it away, it's still considered mine, what difference does it make whether I gave away $5 or I gave away $1 million or I gave away everything? If it's still mine, it's still mine. If it's still mine, it's still mine. I should be able to be chayzer even on the $5. That's the way the Rashi and the other Rishonim learn. So the Gemara says, Ala Amar Rava. So you're right. It's not really considered mine, the way Rashi's learning. I'm just going to finish it off with Rashi now. Amar Rava, Hainu Taima, the Rabbi Yossi, Gezer Mishum, Matnas, Beis Chayim. So this part is similar for both Rashi and the Ran. It's a gzeir because of Manas Bechorin was a case where this person made a neder that he's not going to let his father have any hana. And then he was getting married. So of course he wanted his father to come to the chasana, but the problem is that his father couldn't come because he made a neder hana. So what he did was he decided he gave the whole chasana money, he gave it to somebody else, and he said, you make me the chasana. If you make me a chasana, so then, if you make a chasana for me, so now my father could come because you're making the chasana. And then the guy took all the money and said, oh, thank you very much. And he went ahead and he bought himself a yacht. So the guy was like, wait, 1 second. I didn't give you the money.
It was Mekadesh money,
whatever. He did, okay, yes, he made a hektish. Whatever. He took the money and he used it for a completely different purpose. And the guy says to him, I never gave it to you for that. I gave it to you specifically to use as I told you. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, if you're still controlling how the money is going to be used, then you didn't really give it to me. If you give it to me, then I could do whatever I want. You can't give it to me and say, you can't be an Indian giver and say, I gave it to you, but it's not really yours. Either you give it to me or you don't give it to me. Anyway, so the answer is, over there, if there's a mudr hana, over there, itaka is considered as if he gave him, that would be considered giving him, you know, giving the father hana. Because he didn't really give it to the other guy. He meant to keep it for himself. He was just trying to find a loophole. So the Gemara is saying over here also, since there's nobody else in the desert with them, it's only these two guys, so then when I put it on the rock, who else am I giving it to? I'm obviously giving it to him. So therefore, it's considered giving it directly from the giver to the taker, and it's going to be usur. And that's why, so it's a gezeira. Really, it doesn't matter whether it's going directly. It's not a matter of possession from the giver to the taker. It's a gezeira. It's a gezeira when the scenario is lined up so that it's so obvious that it's going from A to B, regardless of whether technically, halachically, it's going directly or not. That's not the point. It's obvious that that's the scenario, that's the point of the giving over here. So therefore, it's considered giving directly, so it's going to be usur. That's the way Rashi learns. The Ran has a different gears. If you look at the last wide line on the top of the Ran, the fourth line from the top of the Gemara in the Ran. Just I want to read the gears and then we'll explain the Ran. And we're going to stop over here. We're going to stop because the next Gemara really is continuation in the next on Daf Memdalet. And Memdalet is a short Daf. So we'll finish off with the Ran. The Ran says, has a different gears. So Masiv Rav, I'm reading the words in the Ran himself. Miktasan L'Rishon V'Kulan L'Sheni Zocha Sheni L'Hishtabed B'Rishon. A completely different gears. And the Ran is really quoting a different brisa. It's a different brisa. It's also a brisa in the Gemara Bava Basra, but it's a different brisa. Okay, but what those words mean is that the second guy is koina, the first guy is not koina, which is exactly the opposite of what our girsa is in our Gemara. It's a whole different explanation. And it's a whole different sugya. It has nothing to do with shchiv meirah. Now we're talking about a different case. We're talking about a case where a guy owns two slaves. He owns two slaves. So the first slave, he says, I'm giving you possession, I'm giving you a little bit of property. Now, what's included in that little bit of property or not included in the property is not clear. But he's certainly not giving him a lot. He's giving him something. And then to the second slave, he says, I'm giving you everything. Okay? So the problem is like this. We all know the rule that mashakona eved kana rabba, that whatever a slave owns, it's as if he's just holding it possession for his master. So over here, since he only gave the first slave a little bit, it's not clear whether he gave the first slave, his freedom. So if so, this is the way the Ran explains, if so, then he's really giving the first slave, he's really not giving the first slave anything. Because if he doesn't give him his freedom, even if I give him property, that property originally belongs to the master. So he didn't really give him anything. As opposed to the second slave, where the second slave, he gave him everything. Everything includes his freedom. So if he includes his freedom, that guy's a free man. And now that he gave him the rest of his property, he owns everything. Including the first slave, by the way. He includes everything. Okay, so that's the scenario that we're talking about. Remember, according to his Gersa is, the first guy gets nothing, the second guy gets everything. And that makes sense, because the second guy, because he's getting everything, he's also getting his freedom, and therefore is able to get everything, as opposed to the first guy is going to get nothing. Now, so this becomes a kasha on what's included and what's not included. You see here, so the way the Ran is learning, this is really, this kasha of Masiv Rava is directly on the line before. This is not really a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, the explanation of the giver to the taker. This is going on what's included in my nether and what's not included in my nether. Because we just said, if I made it Hefker first, it wasn't included in my nether. So he's saying no. Here we see where I gave the Eved something, and then I gave the second Eved everything. We include everything, we give everything to the second Eved. But if we believe what we just said 2 moments ago in the Gemara, which was that once I give something away, I don't mean to include it in the next stage, right? Because in case was, if I gave it Hefker, it's not included in the nether later, because I already gave it away. So the same thing should have been true in the case of the two slaves. When I gave it to the first slave, technically it didn't work, but in my mind, I gave that away. So when I gave the second slave everything else, I should have thought that I'm not giving him what I already gave the first slave. And he should not receive what he gave away to the first slave. Again, if you hold that once I give something away, in my mind it's not mine anymore to give away, then this, when he gave it to the second slave, he should not be included anything he gave to the first slave. That's the kasha. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. It's just a kasha on this philosophy. On the philosophy of, once I gave something away, did I really mean to include it in my next sentence? So here we see that I did mean to include it, because the second slave gets everything. And then the Gemara's answer is no. Once again, we're saying that it's a gzeira, really, we're undermining Rabbi Yochanan's shita completely. We're saying, really, when you give, you don't mean, when you give, it's not really yours anymore. Once you make it hefker, it's not really yours. And again, the Gemara's answer is similar for the Ran, in the sense that the maskana of the Gemara is that enachanami, it's not usur. Rabbi Yossi doesn't say it's usur because I didn't give it, because I'm giving. It's usur because of the matnas beis chorin, which we already said the case was, remember, for the chasana, that he didn't really mean to give it to the other guy, and it was considered as if I was giving it directly. That's the case over here. That's also going to be usur. It's as if I'm giving it directly, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Shita is that I'm giving directly, and it has nothing to do with what's included or what's not included. Over here, it's a gezeira. It's a gzeira that when I'm in a situation where it's very clear and obvious that I'm the giver and he's the taker, and I'm giving from one, and it's going directly from one person to the other, that's when it's going to be usur. Has nothing to do with what's included and what's not included. It's simply because I meant to give it to him. And that's why it's going to be usur. That's the way the Ran is learning. So again, we're going to stop over here, even though it's 3 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. But the next line of the Gemara anyway is a continuation into the sugya tomorrow. And this is where we're going to stop for today.